We'll be listening in this interview to Dr. Christopher Morgan, who is a senior air quality scientist for the City of Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Dr. Morgan was part of the presentation team for APWA 2007 presentation entitled Clean Roads to Clean Air Program. The City of Toronto, Canada is successfully implementing a street sweeping program that significantly contributes to meeting the clean air and stormwater standards that they would like for their city. What Dr. Morgan discusses in this interview is how they evaluated sweeper efficiency and defined operational best practices. Unfortunately, the very first few seconds of Dr. Morgan's taped interview with us was cut off. We're joining him as he's discussing the process that the City of Toronto undertook to determine where the non-point source pollution was coming from, which they felt was coming, a major part of it was coming from the roads. So here you go, and we apologize, but again, we're joining with Dr. Morgan in process.
And we then tried to figure out where it came from and determined, using a lot of existing scientific literature, that the majority of it was coming from fugitive road dust, meaning the particles of road surfaces wear down and tires wear down and brakes wear, and all these little very small particles fall on the road and get mingled in with all the visible rubbish and debris that we're familiar with that sweepers would regularly pick up. So we have this PM10 problem in the Toronto area, and we also recognize it was like wall to wall, north to south, west to east, within Toronto. So it was citywide, and it was a year-round problem. And the problem was sufficient to sort of be in excess of the recommended air quality standards. So having found a problem, and as I said, it was one of two, but this one was, we thought, probably more addressable within the city when we found out that, as I said, it came from road dust, and roads are a municipal responsibility, i.e. the sweeping of them. We thought we should address it. So, well, we could address it. Doing some searching on the web, because I was never aware of the sweeper industry back in 2000. I've learned a fair amount since, but obviously not everything. We found that some people had preceded us, some areas of the states, in California, in L.A., the SCAQMD, South Coast Air Quality Management District, had gone ahead as part of the California Air Resource Board and developed a protocol, which I think is subsequently known to most of us as Rule 1186, to address what I initially took to be the picking up of PM10 and removing it from the streets. And so looking at that, we went to senior management and said, well, we've got a problem, we've got a solution, potentially by getting a better quality of road sweeper. And in the senior management of the day, we were encouraged because the transportation people who operate the road sweepers within Toronto were saying, well, they're about to purchase new ones. And the city manager and the mayor and people were saying, well, we'd like to see you get a more environmentally appropriate one. So these things came together. We had identified a problem. We thought we had a potential for a solution. Transportation had a need. So we went off in search. We thought we started the search of, well, which are the best sweepers to obtain for the city in order not only to do the regular job of sweeping the streets as they'd been done in the past, but also to do this added thing about getting the PM10 off the streets so that it doesn't go into the drains and have to be treated by the municipality before it gets disposed in Lake Ontario, and also to make sure that it didn't go up in the air, etc., when sweeping was happening.
And you designed your own test for that?
Well, we did, and that was in part a response to, I guess, because I was so keen, having found Rule 1186, I thought this was the answer for us, and then as time went by, I dug more into it and realized it really wasn't. Because in Ontario, as I'm sure most of you know, that we have cold winters, and to pass the test that developed over time in LA, the application of water was freely permitted. Well, it freezes, and trying to run our sweepers January, February, March would have been tough with this application of water. In fact, what we've been doing in the past with the old sweepers was basically stopping the sweeping operations in the months when there's too much snow on the road and it's too cold for anything to really pass over the streets.
So you must use water. for dust suppression. You must use water for dust suppression.
We do, and we still do, and we probably still will. But what we found in Rule 11E6 was a couple of things. One, it perturbed us because water was freely applicable. Two, we were perturbed because the material that had to be picked up off the road came to be 97% sand, meaning greater than 2 millimeters diameter, and only 3% down at the smaller than PM10 size as paint filler. So if they had to pick up 80% of it to become PM10 compliant or 1186 compliant, they could pick 80% of that material by applying a hell of a lot of water, pick up 80% of the total material, but they could still leave, as it were, 17% sand and 3% paint filler. So we weren't confident that we were going to be paying extra money, if we were paying the extra money, to buy a machine that was going to do more, only not do it. So because we had these winter temperatures, because we couldn't apply the water, because we wanted to ensure that it actually did pick up PM10, we thought, well, how do we choose between manufacturers when there is no standard that speaks to 1186, speaks to PM10 being picked up other than 1186? So we concocted our own testing protocol, and we eventually came to occupy a long barn that was almost 100 meters long, and we made test tracks in there, and we had sweepers, and we laid nothing but paint filler on these tracks, and we had we tested our own testing protocol the first year and had a variety of sweepers, from mechanicals to vacuum assist to regen, from a number of external manufacturers. We invited many to come, and I think 3 or 4 now came. We also had machines that we had on lease. We also had machines that we owned. And we had a real spectrum of old and horrible to new and fantastically good to test this protocol with. And what we did was, as I said, we basically came up with not a pass-fail as Rule 11E6. We wanted to know which one did best and which kind of technology did best and when was be applicable and so on. And from that, we went forward the following year and put out a proposal call for manufacturers to come in and be tested in an official way, because the previous year, as I said, was testing the protocol. And so we invited people to come in, not many did, and we felt we had a pretty good testing mechanism to subject these sweepers to. But another part of this, and this is part of the presentation in San Antonio, is in convincing people that PM10 is significant, we had to sort of dig into the impacts on health, on cardiovascular response and asthmatic responses and respiratory responses as well. And we had to prove that these particles were there and were a concern. So health was the concern, but we had to prove they were in the air. And we adopted the use of LIDAR, and LIDAR is the light equivalent of radar. Radar sends out a beam and it gets back and bounces back, and they basically see things on a scope because of it. The same thing happens with LIDAR. You send out a monochromatic light wave, in our case of 1 micron frequency, and it comes back scattered by particles between 1 micron and 10 microns because of the fall-off, which is perfect for us in trying to see PM10 in the air. And we married that piece of technology with another testing protocol where we closed off a street and middle of the night we ran a car up a road on the curb lane and the crown lane and so on and allowed it to settle, and then we put a sweeper through and then allowed it to settle and then put the car through again, because we wanted to see how much of the 1186 in a visible way that we could show to people, senior bureaucrats and politicians, etc., how much was going to be removed by sweepers. And we actually tested some of our own sweepers by using this method, and found that a car would go through, remember this is after a regular day's traffic and all the rest of it, and kick up PM10 that would be otherwise invisible. We could see it on the results of the LIDAR. And then it settled, because we allowed it to, and then we sent a sweeper through, and the amount that was kicked up into the air was humongous. And then we let that settle, and we sent a car through again, and we found out that the car then kicked it up, because what the sweeper had done was loosen it to be redeposited on the surface. So sweepers were actually making the road look cleaner, but were making the roads much more covered with looser PM10 to be picked up by the tires of other cars coming along later, to be thrown into the air and to drift horizontally into people's doorways and windows, and obviously affect people's health.
And what we call that in the sweeping industry, the terminology that is built up around that is the deposition layer. There's a certain deposition layer that's on the street, and then when that's packed down by cars and so forth, it's not as likely to come up in the air when cars pass or with light rain or wind. But
fair enough. With these small particles, remember PM10, I mean, you can put thousands on the head of a pin.
Right.
They're so small, there's sort of all sorts of chemical bonding and forces that pick it up, and it sort of gets in. I mean, we talk about a tarmac surface or concrete even of being smooth, but in fact it's pitted, and these things will fall into that. And if a brush goes through on a mechanical, it may not pick up the things out of the little pits and cracks on the road. But it will disturb it enough by the passing. It also depends where the exhaust of the engine for the sweeper is, of course, as well.
And it may be that the broom, action of the broom, may take particles that were larger and make them into smaller particles and not pick
comminution
them.
Happens. I'm sorry, that's the term when you break particles down inside.
But
it certainly does happen. But a lot of it can also happen from, for example, here in the winter, we apply salt in reduced amounts now because we're becoming more environmentally appropriate. But that breakdown of salt breaks down into finer and finer particles. And after the end of the winter, when we have to do a spring cleanup, the amount of salt that's already comminuted down to small particle size is huge. And the amount of PM10 in the air and PM2.5 in the air with cars just going by, as we've monitored it at intersections on our major arterial highways, is huge. It's really very large. So you're right, there's a lot there and it does break down. So I forgot where I was going.
And many municipalities are not going to be aware of that because they're not using the sophisticated techniques that you're using to see those. They see a street, they say, well, now it's clean. We have an air quality problem. We have a clean water problem in terms of stormwater runoff. However, they don't put the connection together that since they can't see it in the air with the naked eye or on the street, that's where the problem is coming from.
I think that's absolutely right. I mean, you can see these particles when there's a high concentration. So in a spring cleanup, we've all seen sweepers going down a street surrounded by a cloud of brown mist, as it were. And that tends to be the very fine particles that just hang around with it. And after the spring cleanup, that tends to happen less often. But that's because there's a very high concentration. But you've got to get to very, very excessively high concentrations before you see PM10 in the air.
Has your experience been, and we will have a linkage into the story that was in APWA Reporter, but
okay.
In total, because we are limited in terms of our audio length of downloading an MP3, where do you think the industry should go from here based on Toronto's experience?
Well, we're happy with what we did. We're confident that what we did is scientifically valid. And we'd like to see some kind of standard based on the protocol we developed being adopted as far and wide as possible. And the last time we did the test with one sweeper, we brought in an outfit called ETV or ETV Canada. And they're called an environmental technology verification, that they're independent. And they worked with a third-party peer to basically test what we did, the validity of what we did, and the reproducibility of what we did. And that leads to a certificate being issued by Environment Canada, which is our, like your EPA in the States. And we would like to see that spread across, adopted across Canada, and potentially in time to come, but it's a long, drawn-out process, North America and beyond. I think having a standard that, because we're a fairly large municipality and we have abilities perhaps that smaller municipalities may not have ready access to. So to some extent, we're very happy to provide what we've done and help the further provision of the testing protocol and the knowledge we've gained to share that with other municipalities so they can benefit from it and they can choose whether to follow this or not, but at least they can be advised by it. So we are hoping that in the future, the testing that we did will have greater universality.
That makes perfect sense, and we certainly need a replacement for the AQMD testing process. That's long overdue. Are there a couple of points that you would make about how this testing process does or does not fit in with other cities and in and throughout North America?
Well, first, I think the lack of recognition of PM10 as an issue across North America is a universal issue that's not been, it's been a hidden issue. We discovered it because of the modeling that we did. Not many municipalities actually do that. And monitoring down at street level. I mean, most from research done in the Desert Research Institute down in the southwest of the states, we know that PM10 doesn't rise very far. And most states and provinces measure PM10 higher than most PM10 actually gets. But what I'm really trying to say is here, Toronto is like most other cities of similar size in North America. We have a problem. Those cities will also have a problem with PM10 in air, especially all along roads where cars kick it up and the dust, the very fine dust, the invisible dust, goes into people's doors, windows. And actually, as a sidebar point, we've monitored pedestrians and cyclists and motorists along these roads, and we find people in motor cars are equally impacted because the filters don't take out the PM10 well enough. So they are also getting impacted. The people that cause the problem from brake wears and tire wear and concrete wear, etc., asphalt wear, are also getting impacted. So the first point to answer your question is the problem is universal to cities across North America.
And in fact, maybe more so in some of the southern cities.
I think that's absolutely correct.
Because you have more rain than certainly our southwest.
We do, and we get snow far more than anybody else in the southwest as well. But this aspect of it, I think, is apparent across North America. The second thing, and I think obviously this is an audio thing, but for those that can access it, the APWMA reporter does have in the article that we have in there figure one, which shows comparative testing using LIDAR. Essentially, this helps us to see the invisible, and there are six small graphs that basically compare what a mechanical street sweeper does versus what a more new technology, in this case a regenerative sweeper, does in the dry mode. And has a car going across the street, and then the sweeper going through the street, and then the car going through again. And what it shows very clearly is that the car will disturb a fair amount, but the sweeper disturbs a heck of a lot more, and then subsequently another car coming through throws it up into the air again. And this is a problem that I think is also equally universal across North America and in all our major cities. So yes, we've developed this protocol, and we had an insistence that we didn't use water to solve the problem. But this whole approach to using to looking at PM10 because of the health impacts of cardiovascular and respiratory issues, and linking that to the PM10 and PM2.5 into the lungs, etc., and having to get that out of the air by cleaning the roads, that I think is universal across North America as well.
Stop. Well, those are excellent points to make. There's a lot of material that you covered in a very short amount of time, and again, we will have a linkage, you'll see on the page, to the APWA reporter article, and that can show some photos and graphs that that answer this question, answer some of the questions that may be in people's minds. Okay. So thank you very much, Dr. Morgan, for your time. And I look forward to whatever's next, not only for the city of Toronto and their results, but throughout North America.